Hey, how's it going? It's been months since I've done this. I had started a new job and was getting involved with that and just really didn't have time. Had some weird stuff personally just happened, which just put me back at home. Unfortunately, I'm probably going to lose the job I was doing. I really liked it too. But it gives me more time to get back on this, and I need to, too. Need to keep reading the Bible. I don't read ahead. I've only read what I've read on this podcast, so we're still on pace together if you've been listening. I don't know any more than I've already read, so in the meantime, I've quit smoking weed and doing a whole bunch of stuff, so hopefully I'll remember more of this as I go along. Anywho, I apologize too if there's any background noises. I tried to clean it up with an app before I posted, but I have my Dodger at home now, and I don't have the ability to kind of shut off all the things I was doing before and eliminate as much noise as possible. So, anyway, jumping right in, we left off Exodus chapter 5. I'm going to get in about a half hour today. Hopefully some more time tomorrow. Maybe I'll be able to do some tonight. But I plan on posting more episodes with regularity moving forward. Chapter 5. And afterward, Moses and Aaron came in and said to Pharaoh, "So says Jehovah, the God of Israel, send away my people, and they shall feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is Jehovah, that I should listen to his voice to send away Israel? I do not know Jehovah, and I also will not send Israel away." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us go a journey of 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice to Jehovah our God, that he not strike upon us or strike us with plague or with sword." Well, I just threw a couple words in there. Jeez. I guess that's how it goes with the Bible though, right? People just twisting or adding or, yep. And the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you loose the people from their work? You go to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are many now, and you make them cease from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the slave drivers of the people and their overseers that day, saying, "You shall not go on giving straw to the people to make bricks, as yesterday and the third day. They shall go and pick up straw for themselves, and the fixed number of bricks which they were making yesterday and the third day you shall put on them. You shall not diminish from it, for they are lazy, so they are crying, saying, 'Let us go, let us sacrifice to our God. Let the bondage be heavy on the men, that they may work in it, and may not trust to the lying words.'" And the slave drivers of the people and their overseers went out and spoke to the people, saying, "Pharaoh has said this, 'I will not give you straw. You go take straw for yourselves from wherever you may find it, for not a thing will be reduced from your work.' And the people scattered in all the land in Egypt to pick up stubble for straw. And the slave drivers were demanding, saying, 'Finish your work, the matter of a day in its day, as when there was straw.' And the overseers of the sons of Israel were beaten, those whom the slave drivers of Pharaoh had put over them, saying, 'Why have you not finished your appointed task to make bricks as a day ago and the day before, both yesterday and today?' And the overseers of the sons of Israel came in and cried to Pharaoh, saying, 'Why do you do this way to your bondslaves? Why do you do this way to your..." Yeah. "No straw is given to your bondslaves. And they are saying to us, 'Make bricks, and behold, your bondslaves are beaten, but your people are at fault.' He said, 'You are lazy and idle. So you are saying, Let us go, let us sacrifice to Jehovah. Therefore, go now and work, and straw will not be given to you. And a certain number of bricks you shall deliver.' And the overseers of the sons of Israel saw themselves in affliction, saying, 'You shall not diminish from your bricks, the matter of a day in its day.' And they met Moses and Aaron standing to meet them when they came from Pharaoh. And they said to them, 'May Jehovah look on you and judge, who have made our odor to stink in Pharaoh's eyes, in the eyes of his servants, to give a sword in their hands to kill us.' And Moses returned to Jehovah and said, 'Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why then have you sent me? And since I came into Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. And you did not certainly deliver your people. And Jehovah said to Moses, Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh, for he will send them away with a strong hand. Yea, he will drive them out from his land with a strong hand. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Jehovah, and I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. And by my name Jehovah, that's all in capitals, like I might be yelling it, and by my name Jehovah, I never made myself known to them. And I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their travels, in which they traveled. And I also have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel, whom the Egyptians are enslaving. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the sons of Israel, I am Jehovah. And I will bring out from under the burdens of Egypt, and I will deliver you from their slavery, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I will take you for myself for a people, and I will be a God for you. And you shall know that I am Jehovah, your God, the one bringing you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I will bring you into the land which I raised my hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for a possession. I am Jehovah. That's got an exclamation point on the end, even though it's not in capitals. But he's clearly like yelling this at them. And Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, if I'm to believe this interpretation of what I'm reading. Man, since I haven't been doing this podcast, I've been seeing all kinds of different ways that the Bible's been played with. I'm not saying Jehovah now, I'm saying Jehovah because there was no J in the Hebrew language. And one second. Sorry about that. My daughter was asking for a drink. I had to pause and get that. But like I was saying, the Bible's been played with so much. That's, you know, there was no Y in Hebrew. Or J in Hebrew, is pronounced almost like a Y, so I'm going to refrain from saying Jehovah or Jesus, who I now believe was probably Yeshua or Yeshua. So I'll be trying to keep that proper as I move forward. I don't want to be calling people by names that they weren't themselves calling themselves. It seems pointless. Also, I found another podcast. It's called Sight to the Blind. It's performed by the it's done by the by Larry Johnson. That name sounds familiar. It's because he used to be a running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. I highly recommend going and listening to that podcast. It is amazing. There's not a thing I've heard on it that I haven't kind of looked into or checked out for myself to see that guy is on point. Probably another reason I paused so much because I'm just so impressed with what he's doing and saying. And also probably why I'm getting, you know, back into this now, as opposed to kind of waiting to see what happens the next week or two with my job and whatnot. So, Sight to the Blind. That is a great podcast. Back to where we were. And Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, and they did not listen to Moses, from shortness of spirit and from hard bondage. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, Go speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he may, or Jehovah, sorry. It's going to take a second. Spoke to Moses, saying, Go speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he may send away the sons of Israel from his land. And Moses spoke before Jehovah, saying, Behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. Next page. And should Pharaoh hear me, I being of uncircumcised lips? And Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, and he commanded them as to the sons of Israel, and as to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt. Sorry for that noise. That's the chair I'm sitting on. It's a stool, actually, that I should probably tighten. These were the heads of the houses of their fathers, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were Hanok. Whoa, I lost myself there. These were the heads of the houses of their fathers, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel were Hanok, and Palu, and Hezron, and Carmi. These were the families of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Yachin. I guess it would be Yamin, and Yashin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the sons of the Canaanites. These were the families of Simeon, and these were the names of the sons of Levi, Levi? It's spelled just like Levi jeans. That is weird. By their generations, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni and Shimei, by their families. And the sons of Kohath, Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Uziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari, Mahli and Mushi, these are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took his aunt, Jochebed, to him for a wife. That's more incest, right? And Amram took his aunt, Jochebed, to him for a wife. That is just weird. Unless it's not like his mother's or father's sister or brother, but one that was married in. Anyway. And she bore to him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. And the sons of Izhar, Korah, and Nepheg, and Zichri, and the sons of Uziel, Mishael, and Elzaphan, and Zithri. Wow. And Aaron took Elisheba, the daughter of Aminadab, I think that's how you say that, the sister of Nahshon, to him for a wife, and she bore to him Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and the sons of Korah, Asher, and Elkanah, and Abiasaph. They were the families of the Korahites. And Aaron's son Eleazar took of the daughters of Putiel for his wife, and she bore to him Phinehas, or Phinehas. These were the heads of the fathers of the Levites by their families. Wow, so the Levi are Levites. Huh. Makes me wonder if that was like a place then. That's just weird. That is the Aaron and Moses to whom Jehovah said, "Bring out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies." Those were the ones speaking to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the sons of Israel from Egypt. And it was Moses and Aaron. And it happened on the day Jehovah spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "I am Jehovah. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all which I am about to speak to you." And Moses said before Jehovah, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How could the Pharaoh listen to me?" So we stop from right there just to run down a list of people, just to get right back there. I mean, it's just strange how that happens, because there's so many names that get popped off in that thing. And like I said, they keep reusing the same names, and I'm not even sure at certain points if these are these the people we've already mentioned before, and now we're just kind of putting them in their lineage, or are they naming themselves, you know, like if you go to Mexico, there's 1,000,000 Maries and, you know, millions of Jose's, and are we just transferring down the same name to people? It gets really confusing. They don't clarify that as far as I'm able to ascertain while reading. Anyway, chapter 7. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Come see, I've made you a god to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh. And he will send away the sons of Israel from his land. And I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. And I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh will not listen to you. And I will lay my hand on Egypt. And will bring my armies, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt with great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah, when I send forth my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst." And Moses and Aaron did as Jehovah commanded them. So they did. And Moses was a son of 80 years, and Aaron was a son of 83 years when they spoke to Pharaoh. And Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Give a miracle for yourselves,' you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it before Pharaoh, and let it become a snake.' And Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh, and they did so, as Jehovah commanded. And Aaron threw his staff before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a snake. And Pharaoh also called wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the priests of Egypt, also performed by their secret arts." So they were performing some type of magic too. Is he like saying, "Oh, you turned that in? Look, my guys can do that kind of thing too." And they each one threw down his staff, and they became snakes. Okay, so yeah, so they're doing the same thing. But Aaron's staff swallowed their staffs. Oh, nice. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as Jehovah had said. And Jehovah said to Moses, "The heart of Pharaoh is heavy. He refuses to send away the people. Go to Pharaoh in the morning. Behold, he is about to go out to the water, and you stand to meet him. On the bank of the river. And you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a snake, and you shall say to him, 'Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, Send away my people, so that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, you have not listened until now, so says Jehovah. By this you shall know that I am Jehovah. Behold, I am about to smite on the water in the river with the staff which is in my hand. Ooh. And it shall be turned to blood. Ooh. And the fish in the river will die, and the river will stink, and and the Egyptians will become weary of drinking water from the river.' And Jehovah said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the waters of their canals and over their pools, and over every body of their waters, so that they may become blood.'" God, that's just horrible. "And blood shall be in all the land of Egypt, both in wooden and in the stone vessels. And Moses and Aaron did so, as Jehovah had commanded them. And he lifted up the staff and smote the water which was in the river before Pharaoh's eyes and before his servants' eyes, and all the water in the river turned to blood." Oh, that's just so gross. I just imagine it like coagulating against the shores where it's where it kind of washes up, you know what I mean? Like, that would just be horrific. Probably a lot of that would have to do with the smell, because flowing blood smells just kind of irony, but the top layers and the stuff on the sides that dries. Goodness. "And the fish in the river died, and the river stunk." Yeah, I bet it did. "And the Egyptians were not able to drink water from the Nile, and the blood was in all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as Jehovah had said. And Pharaoh turned and went to his house, and he did not set his heart to this also." Oh, so that wasn't even enough for him. Couldn't even listen to that. That's astounding. "And all the Egyptians dug around the river to drink water, for they were not able to drink from the water of the river. And 7 days went by after Jehovah smote the river."
Man.
Chapter 8. "And Jehovah said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, So says Jehovah, send away my people that they may serve me. And if you refuse to send them away, behold, I am about to smite all your territory with frogs.'" Huh. "And the river will swarm with frogs, and they shall go up and enter into your house and into your bedroom and on your couch and into your servant's house." Your couch? That's weird, because this has like three interpretations, so a couch has always been a couch, huh? "And on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading troughs, and the frogs will come up on you and on your people and all your servants. And Jehovah said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and bring up frogs on the land of Egypt.' And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the priests did so with their secret arts, and they brought up the frogs on the land of Egypt." I don't get that. So they were doing the same thing? "And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Pray to Jehovah that he may remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will send away this people that they may sacrifice to Jehovah.' And Moses said to Pharaoh, 'Glory over me, for when shall I pray for you and for your servants and for your people to cut off the frogs from you and from your house, that they may be left only in the river?' And he said, 'For tomorrow.'" So he's cool with it for the rest of the day. "And he said, 'According to your word, so that you may know that there is none like Jehovah our God, and the frogs will depart from you, and from your houses, and from your servants, and from your people. They will only be in the river.' And Moses and Aaron went out to Pharaoh, and Moses cried to Jehovah concerning the frogs which he had said on the Pharaoh. And Jehovah did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died from the houses, from the courts, and from the fields. And they gathered them in heaps and heaps, and the land stunk. And Pharaoh saw that there was relief, and he made his heart heavy, and he did not listen to them as Jehovah had said. And Jehovah said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and smite the dust of the earth, and let it become lice in all the land of Egypt. Oh, no. And they did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and smote the dust of the earth, and the lice were on the man and on the beast. And all the dust of the earth became lice in the land of Egypt. Do you know how much dust there is in Egypt? The whole thing's sand. Wow, 1 second. All right, I'm back. Dust of the earth, and let it become lice in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand and his staff and smote the dust of the earth, and the lice were on the man and on the beast. And all the dust of the earth became lice in the land of Egypt. And the priests performed with their secret arts to bring forth lice, and they could not. And the lice were on the man and on the beast. So this is the first time they couldn't perform a ritual back to look like that. Okay. And the priest said to Pharaoh, "It is the finger of God." And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as Jehovah had said. Dude, he turned the dust into lice, and you still think this is some kind of trick? That's amazing. I mean, who else but the Most High could change the dust of the land into a living animal or creature, I guess, a creeper or crawler? That is astounding. And you'd just be like, nah, these are tricks. What? What a power-hungry, narcissistic dude. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Behold, he is about to go out to the water, and say to him, 'So says Jehovah, send away my people that they may serve me. And if you do not send away my people, behold, I am about to send flies on you, and on your servants, and on your people, and on your house. And the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they are. And in that day, I will separate the land of Goshen with my people resting on it, that there be no swarms of flies, so that you may know that I am Jehovah in the midst of the earth. And I will put a distinction between my people and your people. This miracle shall be for tomorrow.' And Jehovah did so. And teeming swarms of flies came into Pharaoh's house, in the house of his servants, and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was destroyed before the swarms of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God in the land, and do so, for we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to Jehovah our God. Behold, if we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We will go into the wilderness a journey of 3 days, and sacrifice to Jehovah our God, as he may say to us.' And Pharaoh said, 'I will send you away, and you may sacrifice to Jehovah your God in the wilderness. Only do not go very far off. Pray for me.' And Moses said, 'Behold, I'm about to go out from you, and to pray to Jehovah. And the flies will depart from Pharaoh, and from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But do not let Pharaoh continue to deceive, not to send the people to sacrifice to Jehovah.' And Moses went out from Pharaoh, and he prayed to Jehovah. And Jehovah did according to the word of Moses, and the swarms of flies departed from Pharaoh, and from his servants, from his people, not one was left. And Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not send away the people." No way. We're going to stop there, because I got to get my daughter ready for school. We'll be on chapter 19 when we come back, but this Pharaoh, man, that is one messed up dude. You're going to trick God? The guy turned the dust to lice. He swarmed you with flies, frogs, turned your water to blood, and you're still just like, nah, I ain't down with all that. I mean, you can trick Jehovah? That just does. Wow. All right. I'll be picking this up very soon. We are still in the midst of Exodus, chapter 9 when we return. You guys have a great day, and may the Most High lay praise upon you. Goodbye.